brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be once again in the house of God. Now, we thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed as a congregation, the good special music. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and thank you now for all you've done and all you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach on searching for and standing for the truth. Now, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, we're reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ, that over there in the book of John, chapter number 8, and about verse number 32, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I got to tell you, there's a lot of people trusting in anything. They may be trusting in emotion, trusting in a feel-good, thrill-good. But I got to tell you right now, the only thing that'll set you free from bondage and from sin and your sinful condition and save your soul and make you fit for heaven is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can cometh unto the Father except by me." In the day and hour that we're living in, make no mistake about it, is that truth. The Bible said over in the book of Isaiah, about chapter number 59, that truth has fallen in the stream. I mean, people have just let it slip, let it fall, and as a result, they just want to come to church, feel good about themselves, like they are, without the need to repent. That's called psychology, and that's really what the big-time maggot churches are doing, is that they're doing what they can to make people feel good like they are in their sin without hope and without God. Over there in Isaiah 59, the Bible said, do not turn there. He says, yea, verse 15, truth has fallen. And he said, truth faileth. And he that departed from evil maketh himself a prey, and they saw it. In verse 14, and judgment is turned away backwards. We got things backwards in the day and hour we're living in. Just instead of the far off, truth is fallen in the stream, and equity cannot enter. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that we live in a day and an hour when people are not interested in the way and the truth or the life. In fact, is the Bible said, whenever young Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, if my mind doesn't fail me, he said, the time would come they'll not endure sound doctrine. They're not interested in the truth of God. In this lesson that we're looking at, I'm glad to know there's a remnant according to the election of grace that is interested. You know, in the day we live in, is that I've said many a time, it's not what the average preacher, and I'm not talking about Southern Baptists, I'm not talking about some of these other liberal thinkers, I'm talking about among even independent Baptists, it's not what they're saying, but it's what they're not saying. That's why over there God warned them, said, you're partial in the law. And you're not going to, you know, I'd hate to know that I had to spend my time trying to discern who this is going to hit and who it's not going to hit. Listen, if you're on the wrong side of a thing, how can I miss you? See that? I mean, make no mistake about it, is that when you begin to look into the blessed word of the Lord, as that preacher, God forbid that you lighten up and back off just so you don't lose a member, you know. Now, let me tell you, make no mistake about it. You can't buy your way in. You can't buy your way out. It's already been paid for at the old rugged cross. And let me tell you something. This Bible said there's a danger in the world that we're living in. This bunch at Berea, they weren't going to fall for that trick or that trap. In fact, is they knew it was a dangerous thing to be loyal with blind loyalty. You ought not to believe what you believe because as you heard me say it. You ought to believe what you believe because it's in the blessed word of the Lord. I notice every now and again, and boy, I'm going to tell you, I don't care where you're at, people are people everywhere you go, but you take that religion is a blinding thing. It's a binding thing. And make no mistake about it, if you're not careful, you'll go to cringing every time it's your favorite preacher that's being in question. You know why? You tied to a preacher instead of the preaching of the word of the Lord from the Bible. See? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, I've had many a person tell, well, you know, I just can't help but I know the old cuss is wrong, but I just can't help but feel loyalty to it. What do you mean loyalty? They didn't teach you to be loyal to the word of the Lord? If you're not loyal to the word of the Lord, you're wasting your time and mine. in this Bible, listen, you're looking at is that religion will blind you. It'll blind your eyes to what the truth of God is. And make no mistake about it, whenever you go to teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, you cross in the line. In this lesson that you're looking at, and I make a lot of blanket statements every now and again, because let me tell you, I have to repeat them over and over because it's a common thing among men. You know what the average Baptist like if you weren't, don't amen on this. I don't need an amen because you're not going to want amen this. Do you realize, though, that the average Baptist preacher, you can stand up in their congregation and say, well, there's nothing wrong with drinking a little as long as you don't get drunk. Now, that's a common thing taught among Baptist people. I got to tell you, the Bible said there's no such thing as a beer-drinking Christian. The Bible said there's no such thing as an alcoholic drinking Christian. I know some preachers across the country, you know, that want to beg to differ, but their problem's not going to be with me. It's with that book right there. Show me what you believe in from the book. Now, there may be a few doubtful disputations that are in the Bible that you'll just have to decide yourself if it's right or wrong. Christmas tree, that's going to be one of them. You can start amening again anytime you want to. I ain't got it. I just didn't want you to make you be foolish. You see what I'm talking about? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that the Bereans, the people down there at Berea, they were more noble than those over at Thessalonica. In fact, what they did was when they heard something, they wanted to search the Scriptures and make sure this is what the Word of the Lord had to say. That's what our job is. You see, in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, this Bible we're talking about here, is that we're living in a day and an hour when people want to major on the outward instead of what's on the inside of you. You know, it's not hard in the day we live in to train people to act like they're a Christian. But the Word of the Lord will show it up. I've pastored several of them churches, you know, in days gone by to where that they felt good about themselves like they were without the need to repent. They listen to that psychology and that do good, feel good, pat me on the back kind of thing so long. Is that when the truth of God came in, buddy? You try preaching to a crowd like that. I've had several of them gather 70 in number, 100 in number. Some of them with this, their name, you know, some of them their hair, some of them were blonde-headed, some of them were red-headed, some of them were black-headed, some of them only their hairdresser knew for sure. And it was all over the blessed Word of the Lord. I got to say to you, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I was able to know better. Old Brother Roloff used to say years ago, he said, whenever I know something's from God, he said, I just go ahead and take a stand on what God said and feel sorry for anybody who don't. That's true, isn't it? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, there's two killers in the church. They're here this morning. One of them is ignorance. People not even knowing Baptists are notorious for it. Their ignorance of the Word of the Lord. Not because they couldn't know better, they just didn't want to know better. They're just happy with knowing whatever they know and whatever they don't know. But let me tell you, ignorance is a major killer in the church. It'll kill your family. I'll tell you something else I noticed is that in the church, here's another killer, indifference. You know what indifference is? It's like the man knocking on the door and he said, I want to ask you a question. I'm running a survey. Do you believe, sir, do you believe, ma'am, whoever he's talking to, do you believe that the two biggest killers in the church are ignorance and indifference? And here's the answer, and they said, I don't know, and I don't care. There it is. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, that's the biggest killer. You know what that indifference is? It's apathy, lack of emotion, don't care one way or the other. In this lesson that we're looking at, you know, the Bible said that if the blind lead the blind, they'll both wind up in the ditch. And, you know, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. You know, I realize that, though, you can't preach to everybody you come in contact with, but you can preach to everybody that God opens up the door wide open and says, there it is. It's good to be wise and sensitive unto Him. It's careless to cast your pearls before swine. And the difference is going to be the knowledge and inspiration that God gives you in the opening up of the door. You ever tried to witness to anybody and it backfired on you because you tried to force it? Wasn't led of God whatsoever. See, now, there's a statement that the average Baptist ain't going to believe because they believe you ought to witness to anybody and everybody. But I got news for you over there in the book of Acts. They went over there in Asia, and the Bible said, and they tried to preach, and the Spirit of God suffered them not. Amen. Wouldn't let them preach to them. Yeah. In this lesson that we're looking at, make no mistake about it, I'm serving the true and the living God as you are too, if so be that you know Him in the free pardon of sin. In this Bible lesson we're talking about over there in the book of Hosea chapter 1, don't turn there, but he's talking about serving and the true and the living God. And let me tell you, that's what we ought to be serving, is the true and the living God. Anything else less than that is idolatry. Over in the Hosea chapter 4 and about verse number 6, he said we ought to be serving according to the law of God. Let me tell you something, if you're going to serve the living God, it'll be by the law of God. It'll be about His Word, because He magnifies His Word above His name, and He's got a name that's above every name. And then over there in Hosea chapter number 8 and about verse number 14, he talked about how that we ought to be able to serve our Lord and our Maker and our God and our Father. In Hosea chapter 14 and verse number 1, we ought to give homage and we ought to thank God for how good He's been, and we ought to serve the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. I got to tell you what he said over there in the book of Hosea, chapter number 4. It's about verse number 1 through 6, but we're just going to read one passage. And here's what he says in the passage there. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now listen to reason why. Not because of the fact that they didn't have anybody preach him. Not because of the fact the word of the Lord wasn't faithful. Not because of the fact that they'd never heard it. But here's what he said. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. That's sad, isn't it? I mean, here you are. You could have had it and didn't want it. I was liking one of them. Well, let's see here. This young man here, he said, I seen a doe. I said, I see a doe. He said, can you shoot it? Can you shoot it? I like the way he's thinking. He texts back later and he said, in his text, he said, you know what? You could have had a deer on the first day of deer season, the opening season. That's true, wasn't it? Well, I got something a little deeper than that right here this morning. God is saying to you and I, you could have had knowledge, but you rejected. You could have had knowledge, but you chose not to. Because if thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no more a priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. Man, what a sad day that would be. I want to tell you right now, as we begin to look into these Bible passages that we're looking at, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I've been washed by the blood and born into the family of God. God finally over there in the book of Amos told him, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remove knowledge from you. You didn't want to hear it? I'm going to remove it from you. Do you realize that, oh, that's what's going to happen in this godless, wicked world that we live in? I mean, people are in church, out of church, more out than they are in. And as a result of it, they're trying to play both ends again in the middle. I got to tell you something. One of these days, the Bible said that the Spirit and bride no longer is going to say come to you. He's going to take away the wisdom and the knowledge that God gave you through the preaching of the word of the Lord. Let's hasten on and move quickly that, if you will, is that if you've got a blind heart and a blind eye and blind ears, what hope is there going to be for you? You know what's the best thing in the world that ever happens? Not when you're sitting here and somebody's got a Bible and beating us over the head with it. That ain't the best, most productive thing in your life. It's when you're alone, whether it be at home, driving in a car, and the Holy Ghost of God begins to grieve your heart and to show you yourself like He really sees you. What a sad day that is. That's the best time for you. I can tell you what I do is that I've got enough children and enough grandchildren and enough great-grandchildren now, I sure would hate God to not let them see nothing else. Wouldn't you? Do you realize and know that if he takes away knowledge from you, you'll die without hope, without God, and you'll bust hell wide open? No doubt about that. I want to say to you that as we look into it, the Bereans, they had an ear and they heard it. Not only that, they had a heart and they examined it. They wanted to make sure what they heard, buddy, was from the blessed word of the Lord. What do you think God over there in the book of 1 John chapter number 4 about verse number 1 whenever he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits, test the spirits." They didn't mean sampling, it means to try and test them out and see if they're of God or not. And then I want to say to you that the reason being is because we live in a day and we live in an hour when people just don't seemingly have an ear for or a heart for God anymore. I'm glad there's a remnant. I'm glad there's a remnant. I want to say as we get ready to go down and close, is that knowledge will give you the ability to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, you know what that is? That's where Scripture interprets the Scripture. You know, it's easy to talk about it. It's easy to talk a good story. It's another thing to walk that story. I've told you over and over again, I only tell you because it's still the truth. I've got a lot of kin folks, and you do too, and I know most of your kin folks, and so I know pretty much just like we all are, and anywhere you go in the world. They can talk a mile of religion and can't walk one inch with God. What a sad day that is. I want to say to you, now, Mama, if you don't care enough about your own family, Daddy, if you don't care enough about your own family to get them in at the house of God and show them the water way of life, let me tell you something. You may can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But bless God, honey, if you'll keep him tied down there by the water hole, in one of these days he'll get thirsty and on his own take a drink. See? I want to say in closing this morning, if we rightly divide the word of truth, and we ought to be able to have love in our heart, concern in our heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to close with that. But in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 13 and about verse number 1 is where we're going to be looking at. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 13 and about verse number 1. In the passage that you're looking at, he said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understandeth all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have nothing, have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." I won't tell you what he's talking about. When God saved my soul, when God saved your soul, he got rid of some pride and arrogance. He got rid of some bad stuff and gave us some good stuff. In fact, gave us the good and only good person. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. He dwells in us by the Holy Spirit of God. And let me tell you what knowledge does. Knowledge is only good whenever it's got the binding of power of love that we might be concerned about and want somebody else to experience a divine touch from God like we ourselves have experienced. In closing, know that the very belief that you and I have right now is absolutely reliable. You know, the people down there at Berea, now those mean Jews that didn't believe, they came down there and they wanted to stir up trouble and chaos and this and that. But let me tell you something. These Bereans were so loyal to the word of the Lord and they were so examining the things of God. They wanted to make sure what they believed was absolutely reliable. And I got to tell you, that's exactly something you and I ought to grab hold of. We ought to know that it's in the Bible. Now, you know, in the day we live in, I've said this before, and I don't have to worry about it now. It's not because we're not getting a lot of amens, but and not because we're sleepy, because we would amen if we wanted to. But here's what I did notice across the country. Is that you go to some of these places, you know, and they got all these little boys wanting to make every one of them a preacher. And then they got all these little old boys here. They'll amen. Hey, they'll even amen heresy. I've sat and showed that and proved that more than one time days gone by. You know what it means when you say amen? It means it's there, preacher. You may not remember exactly where the chapter of the book and verse is, but you know I've seen it. I know it's there. See? I got to say to you, there's been a whole lot of stuff and a lot of water rolled under the bridge in days gone by. I'm glad to know I'm closer going to the other side than where I came from. I'm looking forward with great anticipation one of these days when I pass from this life to the other side. I'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Can I tell you something Forrest Gump said in his scene? Something he learned from his mama. And it was after that whore of a woman that he ended up marrying died. And he stood there at that graveside and said, Mama said something about dying or death is part of life, part of living. I wished it wasn't that way. And boy, I'm going to tell you something, I wished it wasn't too. But I'm glad to know that Jesus has won the victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. And because he lives, I will too. See that? Make no mistake about it. It's good to know him in the free pardon of sin. I wonder this morning, young man, young lady, sir or ma'am, do you know the Lord in the free pardon of sin? Well, you could. If God's tugging at your heart, you ought to come. You ought to receive him in the forgiveness of sins. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for all you've done and for all you're doing. We ask your blessings now upon this service that we've had. And I pray there if there's one that's here that has a troubled heart. I say, preacher, I'm leaving here for today, but the Holy Ghost of God is tugging at my heartstrings. I don't want to leave this world in the condition that I'm in. There may be somebody that'll get saved, somebody that'll trust the Lord, somebody that'll get turned around, somebody, Lord, that'll just simply, you'll build a fire of revival in their soul. Whatever the need is, Lord, thou knowest. And I pray your blessings now upon these that we've already mentioned. Lord, it was good today to see not only Brother Terry, but Miss Stephanie come in here and be able to sit down. We need some help now. We're asking you that you'd help them. And, dear God, we praise you and we thank you that thou art God beside thee, there's none else. Now, finish the message in every heart.